Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Wow. Have you noticed in Kampala that when there is an accident, there is always a group of people that gather around to see what is happening? People literally stop and they gather. People stop. And when you come and begin hearing and you want to find out what's going on, you begin to hear people murmuring and all of this, there's usually a couple of individuals in that crowd who are very loud and they're saying, "It came from this side and the accident happened here. This one was unusually," when it boils down to, do you know what happened? The loudest one was not even there when anything happened. They're talking and they look convincing, but they actually weren't there. And their story leads to more confusion and chaos. Today I want to talk to you about being spirit-led and spirit-empowered to be a witness for Jesus Christ. A witness whose testimony is undeniable. A witness whose testimony is unstoppable in the power of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was arrested, was soon to be killed, and he sent his disciples to Jesus. And it's almost as if he had a crisis in faith at that moment. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2 to 5. The Bible says, John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things that the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Now remember, John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and he had the Father speak from heaven saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." But he's just checking in. Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? Crisis. Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." What Jesus was asking John the Baptist's disciples to do was this: go and be a witness to him of what you have heard and of what you have seen. And friends, that is what a witness is. Someone who personally has experienced, heard, and seen someone, and whose testimony can be treated with authority because they had a first-hand experience. As a witness, your testimony proves that the claim of truth is actually true. The role of a witness is so critical. The 12 disciples who had walked with Jesus, had sat with Jesus and had him teach, they had seen him perform miracles. They were with him in the boat when he spoke to the storm. They were with him when he called out an evil spirit of a young man. They had seen him. Three of them had gone up the mountain with him and had been there at the moment of transfiguration. They knew Jesus. Their testimony of Jesus was treated as an authoritative witness because they had been there. They weren't guessing. They had seen. They had a first-hand experience. Jesus didn't want them to remain silent, so he sends them out to preach the gospel. And as they preach the gospel, some believed and some didn't believe, as it happens today. But here's what Jesus had said to them in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 to 16. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Jesus was saying, go out and tell people about me. Let the whole world know. And friends, that call still rings true today. Jesus wants the whole world to know who he is and what he is able to do. And through the gospel, we begin to share, we begin to witness, we begin to testify to the fact that Jesus saves. We have experienced his forgiveness of our sin. We've experienced the power of his spirit in our lives, transforming us, making us what he wants us to be. We have seen him heal our diseases. We've seen him provide and make a way where there seems to be no way. And he's counting on you and I to be those witnesses in our day that are telling all the world that Jesus is Lord. But listen, for us to be effective witnesses, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. On our own, we are powerless. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we begin to share about Jesus, as we begin to preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit goes to work. He begins to open people's hearts. He begins to open their eyes. It's as if scales begin to fall off their eyes. And for the very first time, they're aware of how much God loves them, how he sent Jesus to die for them, how after 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead and conquered every power of darkness and conquered the power of sin. For the very first time, they're aware that God is not angry with them, but that God has grace and compassion towards them. Holy Spirit begins to do a work. Those words that you begin to share, those words that you begin to speak are spirit-led and they're spirit-empowered to open people's hearts up to Jesus. He comes in and he begins to do a work transforming individuals. He begins to transform families. He begins to transform cities and nations. That little card you have, that is the opportunity that we have. He's beginning to share the gospel and Holy Spirit begins to do a work in their hearts. And that is why Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 verse 4 to 5 and verse 8. They were getting ready to begin this work of going and witnessing. And Jesus said to them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what is the purpose for the power? To be witnesses. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses when you receive this power in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Yes, Jerusalem is where the headquarters were. That's where the apostles were. And that's where ministry was happening. But Jesus was saying, begin to go beyond Jerusalem. Go to Judea. Go to Samaria. Go to the uttermost ends of the world. And when you read the book of Acts, you begin to see that they went to different parts of Asia. They went to different parts of Europe. They went to all the ends of the earth, preaching the gospel. You know what, friends? I really believe that God wants us to be his witnesses in Kampala, in Juba, South Sudan, Mbarara, in Nansa, Namukono, Jinja, Entebbe, wherever God sends us, Africa, and to the ends of the world, so that we will let the whole world know that Jesus is Lord. So he said to them, wait for the Holy Spirit, because when you receive him, you receive power. Jesus wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit so that we will receive supernatural power to be his witnesses. That's what happened when they waited on the day of Pentecost. The Bible records in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place like we are here. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, all of them. Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That day as they began to speak in other tongues, God gave them the ability to begin speaking in other known languages. The people who were around the building that day wondered what is going on, because they heard the gospel, this message about Jesus Christ who saves, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. They heard it in their own language. They were confused, but these are Jews. How is it that they are speaking my language? And that opened a door for the preaching of the gospel. Holy Spirit wants to baptize us. What is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit wants to empower us. We're fully immersed in Him. The Holy Spirit wants to release power in us. The baptism in the Holy Spirit really is a separate and subsequent experience to salvation. In other words, when you're born again, you do receive the Holy Spirit. But there's another experience that Jesus has reserved for you called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, where you are fully immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life and through your life. Picture with me when we are baptizing people here at church. They are immersed fully into the water. When they come out, they are drenched, they are soaked. In the same way, the Lord wants to take you even deeper into your relationship and walk with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be full. He wants you to experience more of His power in your life and through your life, so that when you step out to tell people about Jesus, your witness is undeniable and your witness is unstoppable. This dynamic release of the Spirit's power in our lives will change the way we walk with the Lord. It will change how we live our lives. It changes everything. It radically changed the ministry for the 12 disciples. They were never, ever the same again. So what is the impact of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives you a burning heart of compassion for the lost. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus' heart of compassion for the lost becomes your heart. There is a divine empowering that happens, and suddenly where you were indifferent, where you were relaxed around people who are far from Jesus, suddenly there is an urgency in your heart. There is a desire to want to tell people about Jesus. It is like a fire that is shut up in your bones. It cannot be contained. Every time you meet someone that is far from Jesus, there is a desire for you to want to tell them. This is what happened to the early church. In the book of Acts chapter 8, the Bible says there was a persecution and they were scattered to many cities. But wherever they went, they preached the gospel. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4-6, the Bible says, now those believers who had been scattered went from place to place, from house to house, from city to city, preaching the word, the good news of salvation through Christ. One of them was Philip, the evangelist, who went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, to them. Crowds gathered and were paying close attention to everything Philip said. As they had the message and saw the miraculous signs he was doing, the Holy Spirit that was upon him allowed him to begin preaching in Samaria. And the Bible tells us in his ministry, evil spirits began to come out of people. He was delivering those who were bound. He was healing those who were sick. He was preaching so dynamically that the city gathered and they had the gospel and people said yes to Jesus. The Bible talks about the same thing that happened to the Apostle Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. He went to the city of Ephesus. As he preached the gospel there, people walked away from witchcraft and sorcery and the worship of ancestral spirits, and they came and they burned those artifacts and they gave their life to Jesus. When the power of the Holy Spirit is upon you, when you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God begins to use you in such a unique way to reach people for Jesus. And my prayer is that it will happen in this place today in Jesus' name. There's an urgency, there's a burning desire to tell people about Jesus. It's the heart of Jesus. Paul talks about this burden, this urgency in 2 Corinthians 5:10. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We as Christ's representatives plead. We plead with you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. That is what happens when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, you're not casual around people who are not born again. You're not relaxed. relaxed. It's not ordinary. Holy Spirit begins to open your eyes so that you see the true condition of people who are not saved, that they are on their way to hell. And those names that you have written, if they do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be separated from Jesus forever in hell. It is urgent that we preach the gospel now. I don't know how many more moments you have with your parents. I don't know how many more moments you have with your siblings. I don't know if you'll be in that company forever. I don't know if you'll be living in that community forever. But what we have is now. We have an opportunity now to tell people, and only can we carry that burden and execute it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wants to work in us and produce in us a burning heart of compassion for those who are lost. Well, how does Holy Spirit empower us to not just have a heart, but to follow through and act on it so that people may be saved, so that people may come to believe Jesus as Lord and Savior? How does he do that? Two things. One, Holy Spirit makes us bold witnesses. He produces within us a boldness. That is what he did to the apostles. That is what he did to the disciples. He gave them a boldness to preach the gospel. I want us to go to Acts chapter 2. Something special happened. After they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stands on that day and he boldly declares the truth about who Jesus is. He preached the gospel. Now, this is the very same Peter, when we read in John chapter 21, who had returned to fishing because he was embarrassed and ashamed at the fact that he had denied the Lord. He didn't want to associate with him because he knew if they find out I'm with Jesus, I'm going to be crucified. So three times he denies him, but Jesus shows up to him and three times he tells him, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Three times he called him again. He restored him. Peter was the first leader of the church. And in Acts chapter 2, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and people are wondering, are these guys drunk? What is going on? Peter stands and he says these words. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied and he said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, the Bible says he warned them and he pleaded with them. He said to them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Do you hear his heart of compassion? Do you hear his burden? Save yourselves. And I said to you today, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And the Bible says those who accepted his message were baptized in water, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This fearful man who did not want to associate with Jesus for fear of being killed stands up on the day of Pentecost and he declares that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified. And that was an act of boldness. He looks them square in their eyes. He points at them and he said, you crucified Jesus, but God has raised him from the dead, and he's both Lord and Messiah. There was a boldness that came. I pray today, as you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, may the boldness of the Lord come upon you in Jesus' name. A boldness that does not fear who or what situation you find yourself in, but a boldness that comes upon you to say, no matter what, I will preach the gospel. That as you consider those names, it may be very intimidating to preach the gospel to your dad or mom, but may the boldness of the Holy Spirit come upon you. This boldness was so transformational. They had political leaders against them in the city. Religious leaders were worried that the Christians were becoming too popular. The apostles were becoming too popular. So they wanted that fame for themselves. So they organized and they came into a cohort and they said, you should stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And they threatened them. Threatened to beat them, threatened to imprison them, threatened to kill them. That Peter on that day in Acts chapter 4, after a man has been healed and runs to the temple, these guys watch the miracle. They're like, now everybody knows that these guys carry this dynamic power. They tell him, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Paul said to them, listen, should we listen to you or should we listen to Jesus? As for us, we know who we've believed. We know what we've experienced. We will not stop preaching the gospel. There was a boldness that came upon them. This, by the way, wasn't just religious opposition and political opposition. It really was a spiritual battle. The devil had come against them because he didn't want the gospel to be preached. He didn't want the cities to be saved. He didn't want households to be transformed. But the boldness of the Lord came upon them and they preached regardless of the threats and the things that were thrown their way. Listen, Watoto Church, may we be bold in the power of the Holy Spirit so that nothing will stand in our way preaching the gospel. No political pressure, no religious opposition, no demon in hell will be able to stand against us. We will see our families healed. We will see our workmates saved. We will see our family members bow down and declare Jesus is Lord. May the boldness of the Lord be upon you. It was a real battle because in the days of their ministry, they had to deal with demonic powers. And yet in the face of demonic powers, in the face of religious opposition, they preached the gospel. Maybe you've been afraid to tell people about Jesus. My prayer today, may the power of the Holy Spirit fall so heavy on you that the spirit of fear will be broken, that the fear of death will be broken, that the fear of the devil will be broken, and that God will cause you to preach the gospel so that many may be saved in Jesus' name. I pray that upon you. And Holy Spirit produces in us a boldness. But the second thing that Holy Spirit does is that He gives us gifts. They're called the gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. And these spiritual gifts are unique divine abilities given to believers by the Holy Spirit to empower them to witness in unique ways so as to draw people to faith in Jesus Christ. These spiritual gifts are given by the grace of God. They are not based on our worthiness. They are not based on our personal abilities, but they are given according to God's sovereign choice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4 to 11, Paul writes concerning these spiritual gifts, and he was saying to the church in Corinth, listen, this is not a thing about competition, but let us use these gifts to really serve and fulfill the mission Jesus has left for us. Paul begins to write, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good means that these gifts are given so that they may be a blessing to you. That as you walk in the gifts, you'll be a blessing to one another. And he begins to list them. He says, to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, Holy Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And over time, the gifts of the Spirit or the spiritual gifts have been clustered into three groups. One is called the vocal gifts. And these vocal gifts require you to speak. Holy Spirit impresses something on your heart or puts something on your mind, or He asks you to say something and you have to speak. You have to declare what the Holy Spirit has asked you to say. And so these gifts come through the speaking in other tongues. And at one point, the Holy Spirit can give you a message in another tongue. And when He gives you that message, He always gives another person the gift of the interpretation of that tongue so that there may be a message of encouragement that comes to the church. And so the speaking in other tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy, by which from God's heart we are ever to speak perfectly what is in the future, what is coming ahead, to declare God's word for a moment and how that is going to play out in our course of life. The gift of prophecy by which we announce what is in God's heart and God's mind for us as His people. But then the power gifts, that's another category of gifts. These gifts are given so that God's power will be demonstrated. Paul said that I did not come to you with eloquence of speech, but I came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. There are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you so that you can demonstrate God's power. What happens when God's power is on display? Hearts are opened. People are in awe of God. People recognize how limited they are and how much in need of God they are. And when they see God's demonstration of power, they bow down their knee and they surrender to Jesus. The gifts of healing. We are surrounded by people who are not well. There, some of them are in hospitals or clinics in our community. Some of them are at home. They are family members. I pray that this week, as you step out in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe, so that when they are healed, they will recognize this was not a doctor, this was not medicine, this was the power of Jesus Christ, and that they'll bow down their knees to Him. The Bible talks about miraculous powers by which God is able to step into the middle of situations where we know that there is nothing we can do and God does something about it. Jesus walked in the power of the Holy Spirit and He brought the dead to life. He provided wine at a wedding when they didn't have enough. He spoke to a storm and He said, "Peace, be still." God wants to empower us so that we would minister to people who have come to the end of themselves, and that they'll bow down their knees to Jesus. The gift of faith by which we're able to believe God for something supernatural. Because there are times when even after praying, we feel like, God, I don't know if I have it in me to pray. And God uses you through the gift of faith to believe, to stand in faith and encourage the faith of others. Have you ever been in a moment where you didn't even know what to pray for, but then God caused someone as they were praying to really stir your heart to believe once again, and that when you believed, God actually came through for you. I remember a couple in Kansanga, they had tried for children time and time again and they'd given up, but that day they came to service. I happened to be there and we prayed, we believed God. Something came upon me and I just said, Lord, in the next 6 months, would you give them a child? 3 months later, they were pregnant. We dedicated the child. God is faithful. He can give the gift of faith to stir up faith in others so they can experience God. Revelatory gifts, the gifts by which God allows you to know what you could never humanly know. You'd never find it through education. You'd never find it through research. You'd never find it through any kind of study, no matter what experience people have. God just gives you information straight from heaven. Why does He give you information? So that you can be a blessing to somebody. The Bible talks about the word of wisdom. In a moment, you have wisdom. You have wisdom concerning a matter. Wisdom that is beyond your age, beyond your experience. God allows you in a moment to know and to have wisdom. And you speak. Remember King Solomon, two women come to him and they're fighting for a child. And he was able to say, okay, cut the baby in half. Now that looked brutal, but then the real mom cried out. The mom was like, yeah, cut the baby. And that's how he knew you're not the real mom. He solved the situation. I pray that as you deal with complex matters at home and at work, may the word of wisdom come upon you. And may you be able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and bring guidance. The word of knowledge by which you're able to know certain specific information. People are going through stuff and sometimes you're praying with people or you're praying for somebody. Like those people who are on your list, you're praying for them. And suddenly God allows you to know they're going through a very tough time. Or something is standing in their way who gives you some kind of information about someone. Sometimes they say something happened in their past and you're able to start a conversation with them. And in that moment they say, how did you know that? I've never told anybody about that. God from His throne of grace in heaven downloads information to you so that when you bring that information, hearts are open to the preaching of the gospel. The distinguishing between spirits, remember, we have a real enemy. The Bible says, do not be unaware of the devil's schemes. We have an enemy called Satan who doesn't want us to preach the gospel. And he oppresses people's lives. And sometimes as we go about life, sometimes you're wondering, God, is this of you or not? God wants to give you clarity by distinguishing between spirits. Sometimes in our city, there are people who are running to fellowships all around, not knowing that some of these people are teaching things that are false, saying things that are wrong about Jesus. May the Holy Spirit begin to give us a discerning of spirits so that we don't find ourselves under the instruction of demonic power, but that we will sit at the feet of Holy Spirit and that He will instruct us. He will deliver us. I believe Holy Spirit wants you to begin to understand when you're hiring people in the company, when you're hiring people for your team, as you're bringing a house help into your home, the Lord will begin to speak to you and say, you don't need that person in your home. You don't need to be in business with that person. He begins to allow you to distinguish spirits, but sometimes He allows you, as you pray and minister to people, to know something happened. There was an open door and He wants to bring a ministry of deliverance through you. So He gives you that ability to know, to discern, this is an evil spirit. May the power of the Holy Spirit be upon you. May He cause you to lead many people into freedom and deliverance so that the gospel will be preached and that people will be saved for the glory of Jesus. It was in 2003, I was in my senior six vacation. We're coming to the end of our vacation, and the final session on our discipleship moment was on the Holy Spirit. We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit like I've done right now. And I remember it was just a small group of about six or seven of us. And we began to pray, believing that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit like the disciples were in Acts chapter 2. We were in the Timothy class. We began to pray. We prayed. Suddenly, friends, it was like a power just hit me. And I began to pray in a loud volume, in a loud voice. I was so full of joy. There was a fire deep in my heart. It was like it was gushing out of me. And Holy Spirit filled me that day. It was April 2003. 22 years later, I'm only standing here today because of what Holy Spirit did in that room. I remember He gave one of the people a picture. And the person said, Brian, the Holy Spirit is showing me that you're going to be a leader among His people. I didn't fully understand it, but in 2026, what I am doing was spoken in 2023. Holy Spirit wants to empower us, to lead us, to guide us, so that we will tell people about Jesus, so that we will minister to the needs of our city, so that we would point people to Jesus. Today is the day. Now is the time. I pray that today the power of the Holy Spirit will fall upon us at Watoto Church, and that we'll march out of here in the power of the Holy Spirit, bold, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, to bring Kampala to Jesus, to bring Juba to Jesus, to bring Uganda to Jesus. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We've had Your word. Now, Lord, I pray, fulfill Your word in this place today. Pour out Your Spirit, God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to know, my brother, my sister, that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to every single one of us. It is for us. But here is the deal, my friend. Surrender your life to Jesus. Open your heart to Him. Turn away from sin. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Offer your life to God fully. Turn away from sin. Come to Jesus. He loves you. He will forgive you. He will save you and make you a child of God and fill you with the Holy Spirit. With every head bowed and every eye closed during this place, you say, Brian, today is my day. I have been rejecting Jesus. I've never surrendered my life to Him, but today, Brian, I'm saying yes to Jesus. Whether you're seated upstairs, downstairs, or in the overflow, would you lift up your hand? You're saying, that's me. I surrender my life to Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Lift up your hand. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Today is your day of salvation. Today your sin will be forgiven. Today you become a child of God. Lift up your hand. Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow. Lift up your hand. Surrender your heart to Jesus. Do it right now, my friend. Lift your hand and surrender your life to Jesus. Online, would you lift up an emoji of a hand in the comment section now and type, I give my life to Jesus. Do it right now. Do it right now. Today is the day of your salvation. On air, in that room, lift up your hand. Give your life to Jesus. In the room, would you lift your hand to Jesus? Thank you. Jesus sees those hands. Thank you. Thank you. You're here and you want to recommit your life to Jesus. Do it right now. Maybe you'd lost your way. You'd wandered away into sin. Come back to Jesus. Do it right now. Would you lift up your hand? You're recommitting your life to Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Come back. Come back to Jesus. He loves you. He'll never push you away. Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow. Come on, do it right now. Lift your hand. You're online. You're recommitting your life to Jesus. Lift up an emoji of a hand type. I recommit my life to Jesus. On air, would you do it right now as well? Surrender your life to Jesus. Do it right now. This is the very last call. Is there anybody else? You say, that's me. Lift up your hand real high to Jesus. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Say yes to Jesus. Surrender your heart to Him. Wow. You've lifted up your hand. Would you pray this prayer after me? Mean every word you're saying from the bottom of your heart. As you surrender and make this personal commitment to Jesus. Church, let's all pray together. Everyone saying, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,